Alright.
Who wants to try a new idea today?
Okay.
New idea is confusing and frightening me.
The first time Strickland's connection drops, the episode is over.
Oh, whoa.
So the episode could be literally like 3 minutes long.
It could be.
Let's not do that. What happens if my connection never drops? Do we just record perpetually?
That may be a possibility.
I think this is a terrible idea.
Is this our first charity show? We should,
Yeah, I think we have to discuss that before we actually launch it.
Let's discuss it now. What charity would we benefit?
I think the Meta Kickstarter charity would be the best one.
Is this a Kickstarter for Kickstarter, or is this the Kickstarter that is for Meta?
A Kickstarter that's for Meta. Might as well be a charity. I'm not going to see any money out of this thing.
Are you involved in Meta for some reason? I mean, why would you be bringing it up?
Meta? I never heard of this before.
No, let's not do that again. I can self-promote. It's still not the actual campaign hasn't launched yet. So I'll wait.
I just noticed that, like, every time, and I actually just noticed this, so every time we, like, start recording, I get the email from Icebreak of, like, the question I'm supposed to ask.
Okay, like, why don't you ask it to us?
It's a good segment. In 20 years' time, what about the present day will you remember fondly?
Other than recording this podcast.
No. There we go.
Ew. How disgusting. Done. Wait, 20 years from today?
20 years from today.
I'll be dead in 20 years. How about you, Jonathan?
I will fondly remember a time when I was employed and had health care benefits.
Oh.
Hmm. Let's see. How about you, Eric? What's your fond memory going to be?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, this afternoon we had a happy hour at work. That was nice, but I mean, The day is too young to make these kind of decisions.
That reminds me of Wonder Years, where young Kevin Arnold is reminiscing. So it's old Kevin Arnold narrating that young Kevin Arnold is reminiscing.
Right.
Kind of like, what will I...
Wasn't he too young to reminisce?
That was the weird thing. I think he was like in high school and he missed the simpler times of something else. It's like, what? So the idea was, he's always been like that. 20 years, look fondly. I'm going to say moving to California. Like, that was a good idea. Hopefully. 20 years from now.
Well, so far it's turning out all right, right?
It's been like almost seven... No, it's been 7 months today, actually. Wait a minute.
It hasn't been that long. That's weird.
Seven months ago today, I flew out to L.A. to pick up my dogs and then drove them up to Petaluma in an eight-hour drive.
Because, I mean, you got to remember, it was back at... CES 2011 when things began to move, the pieces were in place. The end game had begun.
That's back when Jonathan Strickland was at How Stuff Works, and
still am.
Wasn't talking about this Meta crap all the time.
That's true.
Just every other sentence was about, I'm thinking about this thing called Meta again.
You know what? I gotta get Mindshare out there, dude. Those 50 people who are listening, they might be my 50 core audience members.
They might provide $1,000 a piece.
If they did, then I would be so... first of all, the credits to each episode would automatically be longer than the episode themselves.
Well, how big does the credit have to be?
Well, you know, my thing on Kickstarter, my reward for the $1,000 level is an executive producer credit that will appear on the end of every episode as well as on the DVD.
Oh, it sounds like I have to get a group together for, like, when we bought the brick at Twit.
Just so we can have a ridiculous executive put your person. Name at the end of every
so we have a Kickstarter to be the producer of Meta.
Now, remember, for $250... you will get a credit as appearing as the character of Invisigal for one episode.
Nice.
That's weak. We got to stop talking about Meta or people are going to turn this off. But they already downloaded it.
Thanks for your vote of confidence in my project. I appreciate it.
I have full confidence in your product and your project, but my fear is that if we keep talking about it every episode and and self-promotion, eventually it will sound like other shows where people just talk about that kind of stuff. I will not mention certain shows.
That's the problem for me right now, is just because I'm so heavily involved in the pre-production aspect that's kind of where my life's at. And I just haven't had a lot of time to do other stuff. So that's although this weekend I did fly up to Pennsylvania. That was kind of fun.
Why were you in Pennsylvania?
What were you doing? Visiting Amish?
No, my wife is originally from Pennsylvania, and she went up to visit her mom and one of her school friends, and then we also went to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, which was fun.
That explains that picture of you at a Renaissance Fair.
Yes, that would.
One of my friends was at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. That's very strange.
Another one?
Not that I don't consider you one of my friends, Jonathan, but...
I appreciate that, Eric. It's a really good fair, too. I mean, if any of our listeners are in Pennsylvania and you've never been, you should consider going sometime, because out of all the fairs I've been to, I would say that's one of the most impressive.
How often does it run?
Yeah, is it? Yeah,
It runs every year, and it starts in September, and it runs through the end of October. It actually takes place on a winery, and at the winery what they'll do is once Halloween rolls around, so I'm guessing this coming weekend is their last weekend, because after that they convert it over to do an Edgar Allan Poe festival for a little while, and then they convert the grounds to a Dickens festival for the Christmas season.
Hmm.
But it's really, really nice fairgrounds, and very large and impressive cast. They've got, I think, around 70 performers just as street characters, which is one of the larger casts I've encountered at a Renaissance festival.
You know what I did over the weekend?
Actually,
on Friday. I went to a corn maze for the first time.
So a maze maze.
A maze maze.
Yes, that joke was made hundreds of times.
Aw, shucks.
And there were signs to not try to, you know, don't eat the corn, don't steal the corn. And it was at night. So it was full of much drunker people than me. And thankfully, we brought cameras, which is even worse. I'm like, great, why are we recording this? We had monstrous lighting with us, too. So the corn maze at night, not so scary when you got giant LED lights with you.
Also, for the record, I judge everyone's sobriety by the IAS standard. Everyone is either more sober than IAS or more drunk than IAS.
Yeah, because I'm the baseline.
That's a pretty good standard to have. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
more drunk than IAS is actually a pretty small number, because after that you
might die. Yeah, so it's a new standard. Hopefully, it'll be the legal standard. So. A lot of people below that line are completely sober. Good to know.
So that makes me think of a ridiculous conversation I had with a friend of mine many years ago. And I'm just going to bring this up to find out if either of you have one of those things where it's like a weird running gag type joke between you and some friends that just gets to the point where it's so absurd that it's almost impossible to trace back the beginning of that joke. In this case, it was my friend and I were on a museum, a boat that was also a museum in San Diego, the Star of India. And it had all these models of ships on display inside the boat. And the models had a tiny little figure, each one a tiny little figure of a conquistador drawn next to the model to give you an idea of the sense of scale, which... my friend and I, both having lacking sleep at that point, decided to make the conquistador the standard unit of measurement for all measurements. So distance, weight, volume, time, everything was measured in conquistadors. And to this day, we will still talk about that every now and then. Yeah, did you see that car? Yeah, it's pretty huge, man. That thing was like 7 conquistadors wide. And so it's still funny to us, and it's... The concept is funny, but that joke will never be funny to anyone else like it is to me and my buddy. So I'm asking if you guys have similar kind of jokes with the people you know where it's funny to you because of the way that the joke took form, but to anyone else from outside, they just look at you like you're insane.
I think Eric and I actually had Broken Seal.
I was just thinking about that. Broken Seal. Yeah, Broken Seal and what was it, My Foot Hurts?
I don't know. My Foot Hurts. I can't remember why there's... Yeah, so back a long time ago, like 20,000 years ago, internet time, about 2 years in real time, Eric and I used to work together. And we were at CES, and it was one late...
I think it was the same night, to be honest. It
might have been.
Yeah.
But the Broken Seal one, I just remember because we took a whole bunch of 5-hour energy drinks from the booth. They're like,
and we were editing it like at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Two or three in the morning, and then I took a look at one of the bottles and I started laughing hysterically. And Eric starts asking me why, and it says, "Do not drink if seal is broken." And I explained to him that I had a mental picture of like going to a website to check if a seal, the animal, was broken in half. And you would check for it every time before opening the drink. And I remember, we laughed, I gotta say, I think...
For some reason, in our sleep deprivation, we were laughing way too hard.
So it was one of those moments where everything is funny and you can't control yourself anymore.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That was particularly
ridiculous.
Bad.
Yeah.
That one.
See, I thought you were gonna say you had to check and see if Seal... the musician was broken.
I think that was another riff we might have gone on in the half hour.
It probably happened at some point.
Because we're like, oh, the singer, yeah, and see if he's broken in half or he's emotionally broken. But it was the Foot Hurts thing. I still don't know what the hell that's about.
I don't know, but it made me laugh really hard. It had something to do. You said, my foot hurts, and I just said, I don't follow. And for some reason, that made me burst out laughing as we were walking back to the booth.
And that's right.
Because I didn't know why I said it.
And that became, we kept saying it over and over again. Over and over. Because the thing is, the reason why my foot hurt was because I had a blister. Like, I remember that. I'm like, that's why I said it. I remember why I said it, because my foot actually hurt.
And I can't imagine how you got one at CES.
It was a hard thing to manage to pull off over at CES. You know, there's no walking involved at CES.
No, you just levitate.
It's all an air hockey floor style thing.
Wait, you guys didn't get the segues?
Yeah. We're not upper management like you.
CES, I think CES 2009 was the first time I met Veronica Belmont, and I interrupted her eating a she had like 5 minutes of time between shoots and was desperately trying to eat a soft pretzel. And I went up and talked to her and then immediately felt guilty. That was the same one where I met Brian Tong and gave him the first that would end up being a series of awkward hugs.
Awkward.
Why are they awkward? Why?
Well, because all right, so I meet Ryan Tong.
Do you do weird things to your hand? Do you like approach him, staring him in the eyes before you do it?
Did you have a shiver when you hugged him? If you shivered while you hugged him?
No. Here's how the first one was awkward. I walk up to Brian Tong, and he starts reaching around with his right hand to do one of those wide handshakes, coming in at an angle.
But for me,
I thought like, oh, he's going in for a bro hug. I will engage in said bro hug. I started to engage in bro hug and then immediately realized, no, he was going in for a handshake. But it was too late. I had committed my forces. I could not withdraw.
You got to complete the hug.
Yeah. So then we hug. And then afterwards, I just kind of awkward chat. And then we part. And then the next year at CES, I had already been joking online with him about how awkward it was. I even talked to Molly about it when she came down to Atlanta. Molly Wood and I had a little conversation where I mentioned this. And she's like, well, Brian, in his defense, is very huggable. So, I mean, it's, you know, you can see how that could happen. So the next time I saw him at CES, he looked at me, and then he opened his arms up, and we gave each other an incredibly awkward hug that lasted too long. And I think I did one more. Huh?
He's still hugging you right now. That's
I'm trying to get him to let go right now because it's really awkward. But, no, I have decided that the third hug that we've done was that will be the final in the awkward hug series. I am determined not to engage in awkward hug again because the joke's already, I think after the third time, you could say the joke has reached completion. Unless you were to try and go for the part where the joke is no longer funny, but you keep doing it until it gets funny again. I'm just not ready to commit to that.
Well, so you're saying this joke has got the trilogy rules. You got to do three of them. But
yeah,
then
rule
it seems
three.
Like a couple of years later, you're allowed to do a fourth one. That's how it works.
Maybe, but
or
that's
just modify some of the original threes.
Special edition hug.
Yep.
It'll have to be CES 2013 then. I got to give it some time.
Exactly.
Or maybe South by Southwest 2012. That might be enough time.
Yeah, you could try to do like a spin-off where you do like some kind of odd, super complex handshake in the intro.
Maybe a hip bump.
Yeah, a hip bump.
Or a chest bump. That would be awkward.
I think an unexpected hip bump would actually be way more awkward, to be honest.
Yeah,
that
would be
fantastic, though. Yeah,
something for me to shoot for.
that would be a way to introduce yourself to a lot more people, I guess. You could just walk up next to them, hip
yeah.
bump. And say, oh, you don't know about the hip bump? And then you have a conversation.
I should also wear my new t-shirt, the one that says, you don't seem to understand how big a deal I am.
That is not a joke. That's a real shirt.
It really is a shirt. Yes, I really got that one.
That actually, it reminds me, the t-shirt reminded me of a joke. That is a joke, it's one of those jokes where the joke goes on for an hour or so, and you and your friends are all laughing hysterically for, 30 minutes, and then you try explaining it to somebody else, and it's just not funny. Like, nothing you can say will make this person understand how funny these 30 minutes of your life were. Like, we started a conversation about getting business tattooed across my knuckles for some reason, and then across my back in, Helvetica. This conversation went on for a good half an hour while all of us are rolling, just laughing our asses off. Then the next time I tried to explain it to somebody, I realized that it's really not that funny.
Yeah, that's also bad when you commit to telling a story and about 2 minutes into it, you realize that the story is neither entertaining nor interesting to anyone else there.
Yep.
But you've already started, so do you keep going or do you just say, you know what, guys? I'm going to call an audible and cut this short. And
just going to cut out of this one.
Start.
So wait, would you actually continue with the story, Eric? Or would you then go ahead and would you call the audible? What is your social protocol?
I continued for a couple minutes because I thought I could get them to the point where they thought it was funny. But after a good, 3 minutes, I realized, wait, this isn't going anywhere, and I kind of just backed off, and I was like, well, I guess you had to be there. I had to pull one of those.
I think this podcast is evidence enough that all three of us will continue long after we realize nothing funny is happening.
It's true, and yet people listen for some reason.
That is the shocking aspect of this show, which is hardly a show. We should have shows have topics and points and...
Hey man, I'm good with the icebreaker segment. I always get that email.
Agendas. Let's see. Icebreakers. They always give... Did you hit the next one, or did you just talk about
that
guy's email?
That was just on my phone, yeah. They always email me. I should really unsubscribe. It's just getting depressing at this point.
Yeah, please don't share icebreakers. Share three facts about yourself, but one is fake, and the other people have to figure out which one's the fake.
You don't need an Instapoll for that, I think. I don't think Icebreakers has that, does it? Who knows?
That was good, though. Oh, well.
It's not good, Eric. That's not good.
I don't know, man. I like party games.
Boy.
Are you writing notes? I hear typing.
It's not me.
We're all sitting at computers, Ayaz.
Well, you have the worst microphone, Eric. So maybe it's you.
Right. So other topics. Here's a quick question. Have either of you, did either of you watch Once Upon a Time?
No.
No.
Oh, the ABC show.
Yeah.
No.
There's a movie by the same name.
I thought it was, I meant the television show that premiered over the weekend. I thought it was really odd that, because we've seen this with movies where you see multiple movies come out around the same time that all seem to have the same general central premise.
Right.
But it's weird to see two different television shows taking a modern twist on fairy tales, because we've got Once Upon a Time, and then you've got Grimm. And
there's a show called Grimm.
Yeah, G-R-I-M.
Is that NBC?
Maybe. I haven't seen that one yet.
Is it actually based off of
Grimm's
Fairy Tales?
Fairy Tales. Apparently, the main character is somehow connected to the Grimm brothers.
I see.
But it's in the modern era, and it does involve fairy tales. And I haven't seen that one yet. I did watch Once Upon a Time.
Wait, but this is Once Upon a Time, Grimm Fairy Tales for a Grimm Reality.
Yeah,
it's based on the classic Brothers Grimm. Are there two of them based on the Brothers Grimm?
They're based on fairy tales, and the Brothers Grimm are the most famous version of fairy tales. So,
that's true. That's true.
It's, unless someone's going to do a Hans Christian Andersen gritty modern take, I don't think. Pretty much scraping the same barrel. What's odd is that I watched the Once Upon a Time, and I was not really impressed. I felt that it was it took itself pretty seriously, so it wasn't like the Tenth Kingdom, which was so totally self-aware and tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
It was much more straightforward and serious, but the effects were not fantastic, which is problematic. And the writing was just okay, and there wasn't enough revealed in the episode to kind of grip me. There wasn't enough explanation for why things were the way they were. So maybe that's supposed to be the mystery that's central to the show and it's supposed to unravel.
Right.
But unlike Lost, I didn't find the mystery to be particularly compelling. So, it was one of those things where I'll probably give it maybe an episode or two more just to see if it turns around. But I have a feeling like it's going to lose me pretty quickly. So I'm curious to see if Grimm can take the same basic material and make something actually interesting out of it.
I think there's a comic book on the same kind of concept. It's called Fables.
Yes, yeah.
I'd probably be more intrigued with that because I heard that's really good. But to watch those two shows, why would there be two? That's just the, they have this in development. Let's do it too. I doubt it's a coincidence.
And because it's ABC, it makes me wonder if... Because the characters, the versions of the fairy tales they have on the ABC show bear at least a passing resemblance to the Disney take on Grimm's fairy tales.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Because you've actually got Jiminy Cricket in there. You've got...
Right.
They got the rights.
Apparently, at least according to IMDb, which of course, as we know, is not truly a definitive resource, the dwarves' names are the names from the Disney film.
So the nameless dwarves.
Sleepy, Dopey, Doc, all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Grumpy, Caustic.
And Spider-Man.
Sardonic.
Yep.
George Clinton.
I'm not sure if I have any interest in watching either of these shows.
No.
I mean, I know the Grimm stuff could be, if they go as dark as the Grimm stuff was, that would be really intriguing, but I don't see networks going ahead and putting really negative stuff out there.
Yeah, and that would be on Showtime, and then I would watch it.
But, or it'd be on AMC.
Or AMC, yeah. AMC.
I've yet to see a Grimm retelling, no pun intended, a dark retelling of fairy tales or children's stories that particularly worked for me yet. I tried watching the sci-fi series Tin Man. Did you guys see that?
I tried watching that for an episode.
I saw parts of it, yeah.
It was dreadful. Dreadful. Yeah, I tried watching it. Well, actually, I did watch it. I sat down and watched the first episode because I was like, well, it looks like there's some steampunk elements to this, so stylistically, aesthetically, it appeals to me. I'm kind of curious to see how they do the dark take on the Wizard of Oz storyline. I started watching and I thought, well, first of all, Zoe Deschanel was, I hated her performance in the show. She was just totally blah.
I'm not a huge fan, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Most of the internet would disagree with me.
She was kinda cute in Elf.
Now we're gonna lose like 49 out of the 50.
We lost all of our listeners.
Oh, no.
She definitely just comes across as being, you know, kind of like there's no emotion or personality there. At least in Tin Man there wasn't. Like you could never tell if she was upset or happy or anything. She was just like, you know, just kind of like dead inside. It was like Daria live action. She would make a perfect live action Daria.
That's such a good way to think about it. I've never thought of anyway.
Well, I mean I saw her New Girl. She has a lot more range in there. I think we've had this conversation before actually. But yeah, I've seen performances from her which seem really one note.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, people, sometimes people just like that. It's this idea that, you know, Tom Hanks in a movie where he plays Tom Hanks. There's it.
Or Michael Cera in a movie where he plays
the same
a character on Arrested Development.
Well, at any rate, I actually got through the whole first, you know, Tin Man was 3 2-hour episodes. And I got through the first one and I said, I will watch the second one to see if it gets better. And the second one did not get better. But then I thought, well, I've already committed to 2/3 of this show. I might as well see how it turns out and watch the last one. And it was just a
rookie mistake, Jonathan.
I should have cut and run. It was terrible. It was not satisfying at all.
I'm sure that's what our listeners do. That's how did it get to minute 26? I hope it gets better. It does.
Guys, here's a hint. It will never get better.
It's just this. All the time.
Well, are you guys watching anything recently? Like, not right now, but I mean,
you know, you want to know, sadly, what I've been rewatching?
What's that?
I've been marathoning Malcolm in the Middle.
I just started running that today on Netflix. Yeah. Just because I wanted to see Bryan Cranston in something.
I just ran out of stuff to watch, and I was like, oh, Malcolm in the Middle. I remember that show was good. And yeah, it's been all right. It's entertaining.
I've been watching old episodes of The Next Generation. Actually, I saw.
I haven't gone back to that yet.
I saw two really good episodes last night, and one that I don't like so much.
Okay.
Yesterday's Enterprise. Yesterday's Enterprise, which is the one where the Enterprise D encounters Enterprise C, and Tasha Yar suddenly is alive again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good episode. I know exactly
which one you're talking about. Okay.
Yep. And then the next one was The Offspring, which is the one where Data builds himself a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a really good and sad episode. And then the third one was Sins of the Father, which is the one where Worf has to go back and defend his father's honor because there's a conspiracy to blame an attack on a Klingon outpost Worf's dad, when in fact it turns out it's some influential Klingon who was the real traitor, but they can't have him publicly be known to be the traitor because it would destroy the Empire. It's just too complicated and stupid, and I didn't like that episode.
Going on a random segue, there's a Futurama quiz, the pub quiz I always do. They have themes every now and then. There's a Futurama one coming up, and this just brings up is there an episode of a show that, like, when you see it come on, you just won't watch it? Because there's that Futurama episode about Fry's dog, and, like, every time it comes on, I'll, like, watch it, it'll be playing on TV or something like that, and I'll be like, oh, Futurama, and then I'll start watching the episode 5 minutes in and be like, nope, can't watch this, don't feel like crying.
Yeah, that episode, I've only watched that episode all the way through twice, and in both cases, I mean, I'm a dog person, so in both cases, I was torn up by the end of it.
Same thing, I get to the end of that episode, and I'm like, God, why did I watch it again?
And my wife refuses to watch it. She has never seen that. She loves Futurama, she has never seen that episode. She cried when I told her what the episode was about.
What season is that one? That's the thing. Like, I know of the episode, but I don't think I've watched it.
I think it's a season 4 episode.
That might be why.
Jurassic
Bark, and it is probably one of the best episodes. But it just destroys me. And I know there are people who tell me that the episode where Fry finds out about his brother. Like, that's the one that
that's
gets a
great
a lot of
one.
People.
Yeah.
I love the episode, but that one gets to me way more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, the brother one doesn't even, like, I don't even get misty-eyed in that one. I like that episode, and I think it's a great episode. But it makes me think that I might be some sort of sociopath, because nothing, I don't feel like crying at all. But I watched Jurassic Bark, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to need some therapy after this episode's over.
I'm sure for me, there's probably lots of different episodes of lots of different shows. I've been marathoning a lot of different programs. But I would bet I probably would watch 66% of the Buffy episodes. There's probably, like, always, I'll always skip one or two, like, on a disc.
Now, is that because you don't like them, or...
Well, sometimes they get way too serious. Like, oh, this is a good example.
It's
kind of
like me in the X-Files. There's lots of X-Files episodes that I will just flat out skip.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, there's some comedies out there that are like, oh, it's a special episode. If I see special anywhere in a comedy, I just... I skip it. Because it's like, I didn't watch a comedy because I wanted to watch serious dramatic acting. Like,
I'm curious, which episodes of Buffy in general would you skip?
That's a really good question because I need to look it up now.
Would you skip the episode?
Wouldn't be
where
Hush. That's one of my favorite ones.
Hush is a phenomenal episode.
I love that.
Hush was that's probably one of the best television episodes of any show I've ever seen, just because it was so innovative and entertaining. Like, it wasn't just that it was really, you know, an innovative approach, but it was just really fun to watch.
There are some in season 7 where it's really serious. I started getting a little bit.
What
off.
About like the episode where Joyce dies? Would that be one you would skip?
No, I like that one. That one's really good. I don't know if I could watch it every time. Like, if I was watching a marathon, that would be one I would skip after a scene
certain,
once.
There's certain goofy ones early on that I have trouble watching. Like, it's just, I don't have much interest in them.
I like the goofy ones best, I think. Like, there's one where there's a destroyer of worlds, and he's horrible, and he's evil, and then he comes to life, and he's about 2 inches tall.
Yeah.
Step on him, like that.
I was thinking of the one with the candy that makes all the adults act like kids.
And Giles is like a greaser?
Yeah. That one's a little weird. But, I mean, I like for me, the fourth season was the one in the first season in college, right? That was the one with the big bad was Adam. And Adam was, like, the least interesting big bad ever.
He's the Frankenstein, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's actually a pretty lousy season, actually.
How would you rank the bad guys? Like, who do you think was the most interesting villain in the Buffy series?
Well, Willow's, I think that's an easy one. When she was the big bad.
I don't count Willow because she was only evil for, like, four episodes.
Well, she's pretty damn bad. The Master's an easy one, too.
See, I had a problem with Willow being evil because I had a problem with equating magic with drugs. I thought that was kind of shoehorned in there in a way that didn't feel like it flowed with the rest of the series.
Well, I mean, I guess it would just be... Maybe it's just because I've watched it. Like, this is the one I have the clearest memory of, is the Master.
So, the villain, I think, the one I thought was the most interesting to me was the mayor.
He was a lot of fun.
He was my favorite because he was just so gosh darn happy all the time and was evil through and through. So I liked him, and I liked Glory. I liked Glory a lot, too, because she was just crazy. The Nerds of Doom were just okay. Although I like all of them personally. They're all nice guys.
You know them personally?
I know Adam Bush fairly well.
Which one was he?
He was Warren. He was the leader of the three nerds. Yeah.
Is he the guy that built the robot?
Yeah.
That was Warren? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a band called... oh gosh, what's the band called? It just escaped my mind. It's pretty good. It's like an indie folk band. Common Rotation. That's it.
Wait a second. I think we need to have a band called Just Escape My Mind, because that sounded good.
That's pretty good.
That's a really good band name.
There's a lot of stuff that's desperately trying to escape my mind, so that would work.
There you go. Now you're writing the first song. I'm glad.
Right. I still want my band to be called Mediocre at Best. So then when people come and see me and everybody asks
how
was
Mediocre at Best?
Mediocre at Best.
I have a friend who said he wanted to make a band called One Night and One Night Only.
That's
so that way
good.
You have now appearing One Night and One Night Only.
One of my favorite band stickers, I've never actually heard the band, was there's a band called A Man About a Horse. And I thought that was brilliant.
Oh, we've really segued now. We've gone all over the map.
We've gone off a cliff, I think. And we've reached a lot of... That's 34 minutes of a show where Strickland has not dropped out once. What are you doing differently?
Well, not a whole lot. I've got...
He's holding on to an antenna. He's covered in tinfoil.
I actually have two wireless networks running right now, and I put my I put this computer on the one that has the least amount of stuff on it.
how much stuff do you have that you need two wireless networks? Wait, why didn't I ask that? How much stuff do I have?
Well, let's see. I've got three video game consoles to my right. I've got a Blu-ray player as well, and then I've got, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
Is this because you want to be on the internet, or is one of your networks only an internal network?
No, they're both connected to the internet.
Pathetic.
Well, I mean, I don't have to transfer a lot of stuff between machines, so I don't worry about that so much.
Do you have a personal area network?
No, I do not.
Do you have a Wi-Fi direct network?
No, I do not.
Do you have an affiliate?
Are we just going to keep playing this game, Ian?
I didn't know how long you were going to keep answering, so I wanted to keep asking.
I'm just going to keep saying, no, I do not, and then it doesn't even matter.
Well, I might get to it with something that you do have, something random.
Yeah, but I'll still say a lie, and I'll say no.
Oh, I did not. Oh, wait a second. There's no lying on this show. We don't lie on this show.
I've broken that rule already, so that's
the problem. Well, yeah, if we're lying on the show and I say we're not lying on the show, then it's already okay.
That's true.
It's true.
It's so true. It's true about the lies.
Nothing but truth, except when it's a lie.
Any other topics we want to tackle?
We're kind of
wandering all over the place.
Yeah, it's one of the better episodes.
Have you not gotten the point of the show?
If there's no point to the show, then yes, I have gotten it.
All right. Just make
it
sure.
The point is that there is no point. Good grief, guys. Jeez. You know, we're going to have to go. If we can get Eric out to CES, we're going to have to get together one of those nights and just record an episode live from
It may be worth just driving out to Vegas.
Drive to Vegas. Be there. And then podcast with us.
I'm there for a whole week.
Oh, man. Why?
Because I wanted to get there for the press events so I could see as much stuff on the press events as possible and then eliminate some walking around on the show floor. And then the rest of the time is for show floor stuff, interviews, that kind of thing.
Let's see, 9 hours? I could do a weekend out of that. Yeah. It's doable.
There you go.
It's doable.
I'm sure one of us will have crash space.
Where?
You sure what?
One of us will have crash space.
Yeah. Somebody asked me about Derek the other night. I guess he needs a roommate or something.
Yeah. Or, you know, Tom Merritt.
Yeah. No, I'll just give I'll give Brian Tong a long, awkward hug. And
and never let go. So then you can room with him until he's like, okay, you're going to have to pick a different bet.
And then we'll just call it Pulling a Strickland.
Yep. That's what he called it.
Title. Pulling a Strickland. On that note,
did I tell you guys that there's a local theater here in Atlanta where my wife and I have gone there so frequently that when they were restructuring their subscriptions, you know, their subscription packages for a season at the theater, they actually thought about naming one of them the Strickland package.
Nice.
Yeah, and I said I don't know how I feel about that. About
it's good being
paying people paying to get their hands on the Strickland package just seems a little.
Oh, God! I should have seen that joke coming.
That's what they were setting up. It wasn't. That wasn't my joke.
On that note, and on the note of the screaming infant, baby. It is time to end this episode and post it today. It will be the easiest episode to post because it is one file.
Sweet.
Yay.
And stop. Pulling a Strickland is the title. Remember that.